Okay. All right. Welcome. I don't know, episode 18, whatever. I got nothing written down for this episode. I couldn't really do a lot of planning. Full transparency, this has been one of the hardest weeks of my life. And I don't want to start off on a somber note. It's just been really tough. I got a lot going on. As a lot of people know, my grandfather passed, or not grandfather, Jesus. My uncle dropped dead out of nowhere last week. And he's fucking 58 years old. And it's been, I don't really want to be doing this right now, but I need to keep posting shit. Been lacking motivation, you know, full transparency, been very sad, kind of feeling tired all the time. You know, he was 58. He didn't have any, he just dropped it out of nowhere. And it's been hard for me to kind of, it's just been a rough week. And then I might be moving, and I've been wanting to confront my roommate on, I know I've been bitching about him a lot. He's been really good about, you know, like he died. And then I was like, you know what? The things I'm worrying about, the overcharging me on rent, things like that. You know, Tyler was, as soon as I texted him, he was gone in West Virginia on a snowboarding trip, and he FaceTimed me right away. And, you know, I was like, fuck, I've been saying all this shit about him, drinking my milk, which, I will die on this hill. Grown men do not need to be drinking milk. But, you know, when you lose somebody close to you, it really puts things in perspective. And I was almost like relieved, because I was like, I can put all my energy into getting over my uncle and things like that. But then I find out now the rent's going to be higher than I originally thought. And I'm not going to pay that. And I wanted to confront my roommate on the rent, but he's been, every time I wanted to like sit down and talk to him, because I wrote out why it's bullshit how much he's going to charge me, he's been hammered. And I don't want to have that conversation twice where he's hammered and then he's going to get defensive and it's going to be an argument. And I just don't feel like having conflict right now, because I'm just dealing with, you know, my heart, because I've been there where your dad just drops dead. My cousins who were at my dad's funeral, even though we were, my psycho mother, Debbie, didn't let us have a relationship with my dad's side of the family because she's a sociopath and everything. And I don't remember a lot after my dad died, but one of the things I do remember is my cousin Luke, who my heart goes out for him right now. He was at my dad's burial, and one of the only things I remember is him just coming up to me, and he was like, I know we don't really know each other, but he hugged me, and it was one of those things that I'll never forget. And the funeral's tomorrow, and I'm not going to be there. It's in Texas, and I feel really fucking shitty about it. But just with COVID and financially, like I can't right now, and I feel terrible. But my uncle, like, this is going to sound fucked up, but if my other uncles passed away, I wouldn't feel the same way I do, because my uncle Matt was the last connection I had to my dad. You know, every now and then I would text him for a photo or a story about my dad. And he probably started making shit up at the end, because I think every story he possibly could have told me, he told. But, like, I was, you know, this feels different, because I feel like now I've finally 100% lost my dad. And I know this is a comedy podcast, and maybe some jokes will come out, but I don't know. I wanted to cry the past week. I got tears in my eyes at one point, but I haven't. And I feel like I'm a sociopath for not crying. But it does mean a lot when people reach out, because, like, I used to hate like posting like RIP this person on social media, but it was nice posting the only photo I have with my uncle when I was a baby, and random people reached out. It does mean a lot. You know who didn't reach out? My quote-unquote friend Sarah, who I bitched about last episode, didn't reach out. And I mean, I wasn't expecting her to, but it's just like I had women I ghosted from Tinder, Bumble, Hinge from the past few years reach out when they saw that post and ask if I was okay. And I'm like, how are you reaching out, but other people that I call friends don't reach out? Anyway, I don't want to be petty, but it's just like, it just feels so weird. I was texting my uncle 12 hours before he died. Not, obviously he was fine, not knowing that would be my last conversation with him, but it's super eerie because the last message he sent me as a human on this earth was, I was talking about work and not feeling fulfilled because everyone had a shitty 2020, but I just needed, you know, he was always there for me at 1 a.m. when I needed to talk to somebody. Because my Uncle Matt was more of a parent to me, even though I've only got to know him over the past 4 or 5 years, because we reconnected after we cut my mom off and we realized that my dad's side of the family is awesome and they have the biggest hearts and they're the greatest people. But he was there. Now, granted, he would message me at 1 a.m. with conspiracy theories, thinking that Antifa was behind the Capitol and everything. And, you know, that doesn't define who he is, but he was always there for me. And we got into a deep conversation and I was just like, you know, I don't have a meaningful relationship with a woman. I hate my job. I kind of feel useless right now. And I got a shitty podcast. And the last thing he said to me was, as you have learned, when one door closes, another door opens. That was his last message to me, and I screenshotted it. But his last message to me was, when one door closes, another door opens. And all I said in response was, yeah, that's life. And it's just really like bone chilling that's, and then 12 hours later, he drops dead. And then I finish my day at work on a Friday, walk in from taking care of my roommate's fucking dog again. And my brother-in-law calls me and just says that Uncle Matt just dropped dead out of nowhere. And it sucks because he was a huge anti-masker, huge Make America Great Again, all that shit. He made fun of people who wore masks. And, you know, I don't agree with him, but I love my Uncle Matt. He was a father to me. And I think that's why I get so angry when people immediately on both sides will say, oh, I can't be friends with you because you're a Trump supporter or you're a libtard, like all that shit. It doesn't fucking matter because he was the nicest dude. He didn't care. Like, he would have, when I say he would have given you the shirt off his back, he's done more than that for me. And I won't get into what he's done for me, but just being there. And I think that's why I get so pissed off when I see all these fucking comedians on Twitter who are in my situation, who are a white dude who just loves comedy, and I'm not going to use Twitter to get a bunch of likes and retweets by tweeting Trump's an asshole and then everyone's applauding you like whoop de fucking do. But I think I get defensive because I know from experience, and I have a close part of my life and my heart, my family, that was into those conspiracies and loved Trump and all that stuff. And they were still greater to me than any of these assholes that are just tweeting about how great AOC is and all this shit. And I think that's why it took me now to realize that I get defensive during election season when people just immediately call the person on the other side of the aisle an asshole, because that's not true. And that shit doesn't matter who you support, because my Uncle Matt was the greatest fucking dude, and I hate how I only had 4 years with him. And like, I just immediately thought about all the bridges I burned in my life with my former best friend Ross, who, you know, is killing it now, apparently has a great job, girlfriend he's going to marry, a house, you know. And like, the people you really don't, this is so fucking corny, but you really do not know. Like, he was a healthy 58-year-old guy, and unfortunately he had COVID about a month ago, and they're saying that it could be a blood clot from after that. I don't want to make assumptions. I didn't ask. I didn't want to. It makes sense based on the timeline of things. It doesn't matter. He's gone now. But, like, put that shit to the side. Like, if you don't have to agree with everyone, but you don't know when the last message you send to somebody is going to be the last and you're never going to see them again. And, you know, I think I have a lot of anger now towards my mom for like not letting us communicate with them and painting this really bad photo of Uncle Matt and his side of the family. My heart goes out to the three boys that now don't have a father, because I've been there. And, you know, I've been talking to my cousin Luke, who's my age, and I feel like a fucking asshole doing this podcast right now when I should be in Texas right now with family, being there for them. And I know, oh, it's COVID. They'll understand, but that's not, like, I remember the key moments when they were there for me, and I feel like, because I can't physically be there, I feel like a fucking asshole. And so, I think it was good timing that I had my first therapy session on Monday, because I didn't know how to start the show when they're doing all the questions like, oh, are you suicidal? No, not yet. I made that mistake. I was like, yeah, but if in 20 years, if my life is still in the same spot and I have bad credit and I'm single and miserable, I mean, what's the harm? And I was kind of joking, and he was like, that's not good. And, you know, maybe I'll just turn this podcast into updates from my therapy sessions. That would probably be a lot of fun. But first therapy session was actually good. At first I didn't like him. I thought he was kind of a banana, and I was like, I don't know if I want to see this guy again. And my sister told me that getting a therapist, she was like, getting a therapist is like dating. You got to like shop around a little bit. And I was like, well, I hope it's not like dating, because I can't maintain a relationship with a woman. I get bored easily or whatever. But this guy actually has a dark sense of humor, everything. He told me I'm at high risk for suicide, which I always knew statistically, but it was kind of weird to like hear that and see the concern in his face. And we were going through like life-changing events and everything, just kind of going through my life to see where he can kind of poke into and dive into. And he was asking me a lot about my Tourette's, and I was like, bro, the Tourette's isn't like, it's not stopping me. It has never stopped me. Like, do I get a little nervous when I meet like a pretty girl sometimes? Yeah, but like, so does every guy. Like, he led with the Tourette's, and then once he realized that, oh, his mom made him sleep in the car in high school and his dad killed himself and all this shit, he kind of got the idea that that's what he should be diving into. But it was just, man, this is a dark episode. I'm sorry. I got no jokes for you. And I'm addicted to these Zen pouches. But, you know, it just, I feel really kind of isolated right now. And I am proud of myself, because this whole week, I think I deserved to get fucked up and drink. But like, I was thinking about it and I was like, I'm not breaking this challenge. Just this is the first like big moment in the challenge for me in sobriety. It's an unexpected, crazy life event that is traumatic, and it triggers a lot of things from the past. But I'm not going to drink, because all I'm going to do is the next morning be hungover, be 5 pounds heavier from 24 Yinglings, and mad at myself for breaking the challenge. And then it's not going to solve anything. I just need to like feel sober thoughts, even if they're sad and angry. And that was big for me. So I am proud of myself for that. Like, I'm going to tell my roommate tomorrow probably that unless he lowers the rent, I'm out. So I've started looking at other places, and it's way too much. So yeah, like the day he gets back, he's like, yeah, by the way, the rent's going up another $50. My mortgage is higher than I thought. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm paying more rent, did my room become miraculously bigger? Because I'm going to have a smaller bedroom. I'm going to have to get it. There's no amenities. I'm going to have to get a gym membership. When something breaks, I don't trust your drunk cocaine induced ass to get it fixed in a matter of a good amount of time. I'm going to be sharing a bathroom now. I'm literally paying only a little bit less living in this guy's house, and it's not worth it for me. And it's not worth the stress. And I wrote everything down. I wanted to confront him about it, but he's just always drunk. And I'm just like, I can't have a fucking serious conversation with you. So it's just been a fucking whirlwind of a week. I will share my favorite joke. I don't know, it was Holocaust Remembrance Day or something earlier this week. Everyone was posting, if we just took a moment of silence or a minute of silence for everyone who died in the Holocaust, you know, we would be silent for 11 years or whatever the fuck it was. But when I first reconnected with my uncle, we're hanging out. He lived in outside of Chicago at the time, and he picked me up from the airport, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and we just got on the top. I don't even know how, but he goes, and this is a joke, but he goes, yeah, you know, one time I was in a dive bar on vacation in Chile. I was by myself. I was backpacking, and I see this guy at the end of the bar, and he looks exactly like Adolf Hitler, just way older. So I get a few drinks in me, and I muster up the courage to go up to him, and I say, I'm sorry, sir. This is really rude, and I know you don't know me, but I just have to tell you, you bear a striking resemblance to Adolf Hitler. And the guy leans over and says, in a hushed tone, that's because I am Adolf Hitler, and I have a new plan. And his eyes widen. This time we're going to kill 12 million Jews and 10 NFL quarterbacks. And I said, oh my God, what quarterbacks are you going to kill? And Hitler leans over and says, you see, still nobody cares about the Jews. And I fucking lost it. I was like, this guy, where has this guy been all my life? That's a hilarious joke. I tell that joke everywhere I go now. It's one of my favorite jokes. That's a good joke. That's topical. It's relevant. You know, Jews are always a great butt of the jokes. And so, and this is how I know I'm fucked up. When I first found out, my brother-in-law called me to tell me that he'd passed away unexpectedly. The first thing I said was, well, the Biden administration, they got to him. My uncle was right. Because my uncle was paranoid. He liquidated all of his assets, which was a lot because he was a millionaire. And he said the Biden administration is going to get us. So I like to believe in a fucked up way, and I know it's not true, but my uncle, who was into the conspiracy theories and into QAnon, all that stuff, he knew something about the Biden administration, and he was going to expose them. And Biden administration found out, and they snuffed him out, and he dropped dead unexpectedly. They poisoned him. I don't know what they did. They killed him. My uncle was murdered by the Biden administration, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to dedicate my life. I told my therapist I feel unfulfilled at work. I have a new purpose in life, and it's to expose the Biden administration for killing my uncle. There's a joke where 18 minutes into this episode, you got your first joke. You're welcome. But yeah, I mean, how do I live out my uncle's legacy? And this is for my dad too, but man, my family's cursed. You know, that's two dudes who in the same bloodline just dropped. I mean, granted, my dad chose it, but you know, I feel like I've been joking since I was a kid that I'm probably going to die young. And like statistically, I probably will now. So, you know, how do I live out his legacy? Do I join QAnon? Do I join the fight? Do I follow all the dark Twitter accounts that he followed to get the real information on what's going on? I would have loved to hear what he had to say about GameStop and Robinhood. I feel like QAnon knows shit about that. But yeah, maybe I'm going to paint my face, put on horns, and the next time we storm the Capitol, I'm going to be there and you'll see me on TV. And I'm going to say, this is for my Uncle Matt. And the Biden administration killed my uncle. And this is why I'm here. But it means a lot, the people that reached out. Thank you. Have been feeling lonely, but that's also part of my own doing. Yeah, it's just a fucking... I don't want to move, and I got so much going on right now. I might sell my Jeep. I don't know. You know, like, what do I do? But my therapist, back to therapy, because that's always a fun topic. He asked me at the end, he was like, well, let's say you graduate from therapy, even if that's not a thing. If there was one thing that you could get out of seeing a therapist and improve on, what would it be? And I didn't have an answer, because I was like, I just always knew I needed it. I don't really have an answer. But I paused for a few seconds and I was like, I think I want to be able to have a meaningful relationship with a woman. And it just came out like word vomit. As soon as I said that, I was like, God damn it. Because he pulled out this chart of like, it's like a bunch of circles, looks like a target. And it was like the stages of relationships. And it was like, the big circle was like external things, like her looks and everything. And I was like, well, forgive me, therapist. I don't even know his name, honestly. I was like, dude, when you're 25, pushing 26 and single like I am, especially in a pandemic, the only thing I can do is use the apps and base it off of looks. And then he like goes down into the emotional, you know, the other stuff. And, you know, he said, you can't. And I've noticed this too. When I'm on like first dates, I think it's like a defense mechanism. I'll kind of lay it all out there and be like, hey, FYI, let's say we get married. You're not going to have any in-laws, which I think is a good thing. There's no in-laws to impress. You just have to impress me. But, you know, dad killed himself when I was 10. Mom's a sociopath. I haven't talked to her in 5 years. I don't even know if she's alive. Well, no, she's alive because she sent my sister a Christmas card with no photos and no reference to her family. It was Times New Roman font, 2 pages typed out, all these updates about how great her life is, which it's not. But it's just, I'm glad my mom doesn't have my address because she mailed it to both my sisters, and it was just a funny note. They thought there would be anthrax on it or something, but no bomb, anything. It was just, hey, here's an update. My life's great, even though I don't talk to my kids and I've never met my grandkids. But I lay it all out there in the beginning. My friend that I was seeing at one point, she told me, she was like, you can't tell people all the fucked up stuff from your life, because then that people need to like earn it, like to get to know you on an emotional level. But I'm like, what if I start dating a girl and then she finds out the skeletons in my closet, literally, not literally closet, just all the fucked up shit. And like, what if she's like, oh, that's too much. She's not the one. But then I wasted all that time whining, dining her, getting her drunk so I can touch her titty. Like, I'd rather her know in the beginning, hey, this guy is literally a piece of work and he's working on things. And then my therapist, we were talking and he was like, you're probably jumping into bed too soon with a girl. You need to like wait. And like, I don't want to be that guy that like a girl's, you know, every scene from the movie, she's like, do you want to come inside for a cup of coffee? Yeah, because at 10 o'clock at night, I would love a cup of coffee. I know what that means. And then you walk in, you're like kissing everything, and she like pulls you to her bedroom. And I have a boner. What am I going to say? Oh, no, I can't do this. My therapist said, not yet. Let me call him. Let me give, I think his name's James. Let me give James a call and see if it's okay if I fuck you. Lights off, because that's how I do it. Because I struggle with eye contact naturally because of my Tourette's, and because I don't want you to see me naked because I look like the Michelin man. Pasty ass white guy, rolls everywhere. I don't want that. But like, what? How do you communicate that now? It's because like everyone just jumps into bed early now. Like I don't know what to do. But I haven't, like, this is gonna sound fuckboyish, but like this girl from, I did this live dating show on Instagram back in August, and like I could tell she was into me, and like I'm not really into her, and she keeps like trying to get me to come over, and she's sending me Snapchats of like her dildo that she named Charlie, which I think is a really weird fucking. Why would you, first of all, don't name your dildo. If you name your dildo, why would you name your dildo? It is an inanimate object. If you are a girl that has a dildo and you've named it, that's the biggest red flag that I can think of. But she named it Charlie, And she like, come on, like I want you to meet Charlie. And I'm just like, I don't know. Not only would my therapist tell me this is a bad idea, but I just don't. Why would you name a dildo? I just don't. That's amazing to me. Like, I know some guys might name their dick, but I've never met a guy who actually does. Why would you name? I don't know. That's just, if you're a girl and you listen to this, the 11% of my listeners that listen to this that are female, and if you name your dildo, please let me know, because that just threw me off. But I just, and she kept like, why don't you want to come over? And I'm like, I'm not in the mood. And I used my uncle's death as a, but like, I just, not into that shit anymore. Never really was. What, I come over and then I start sweating. I already did my two workouts for the day. I don't want to burn more calories in the dark, because that's all sex is, right? You're just humping away, thinking you're better than you actually are. And then you go home and it's late. I'm not bragging at all. I'm just saying it's fucking weird. Don't name your dildo. And if you do, don't tell a guy who you've never met and you met on a dating show on Instagram Live. It's just weird to me. I jokingly said, yeah, like I'll bring my tripod to like film, like as a joke. I would never do that. But like, was I entertaining her conversation? Yeah, because it was funny. But like, it's just like, and then she goes, you can't film because I want to run for office one day. And I'm like, these are the people that want to hold public office and make these shitty decisions for the country. People who name a dildo Charlie and think that that's a, like, that's who's in office right now. Is a bunch, like, I'm sure Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, has a chest full of toys that she named. She named all her. It's just odd naming a toy. And if you're going to name it Charlie, that's not. I don't know why I'm so hung up on that. That was a big turn off for me. Because then I like shake his. It was like the dildo that, like, I don't know if you would call it a dildo. It's kind of like this shaped. If you're watching on YouTube, it's like this shaped, but also it's like the, has like the, it's the stick. And then it has like the thing on the side, the branch, and it like, what do I do? Like walk in and, hey, I'm Chris. And then I have to like shake the dildo's hand. Hi, Charlie. Nice to meet you. I think we'll be working together tonight. Excited to work with you and see what you got. Like, I don't know. That's kind of bizarre to me. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Not a good place, to be honest with you. I'm not in a good place right now. But yeah, I'm just not really excited about anything going on. And, you know, I wish I had more planned for you on this episode, but now I'm going to be thinking about like every girl that like I know has a dildo. Like my mom had a dildo. My sister had a dildo. Those were two experiences. I wish I never, like, it was like a year or two after my dad died, and apparently my mom and dad didn't have sex for years, which was another thing that I didn't need to know, but it came out. And here's a good therapy story. So when I was in eighth grade, we had to write a news article. It was like a pamphlet for this town that didn't exist. You could name your own town, and you would write, everyone was writing, oh, there's a volleyball tournament, or there's a fundraiser for kids with autism. And I wrote about, you'd write mini articles in this like newspaper for this town that didn't exist. And I wrote about a beer fest and how everyone was coming from worldwide for this beer fest, which was a problem apparently at Council Rock Richboro Middle School. But then I wrote about a mass suicide. And this is where I fucked up. I wrote about a mass suicide and a bunch of people, everyone killed themselves. And yeah, that's a red flag for an eighth grader. But like, the problem was a month or two before that, there was a string. There was like an epidemic of kids at Council Rock School District killing themselves, hanging themselves, specifically on the wrestling team, a bunch of boys. And the school, because of that, and because I wrote about a mass suicide and shared it in front of the class, they made me go to therapy, and it was like a few $100 a session. And after a few sessions, even though I clearly needed therapy, my mom said, if I'm paying for it, I'm getting therapy. So my mom, and I had to report, like the school was making sure I was going. So my mom would pay. I would sit in the waiting room for the therapy that I was supposed to be getting, drinking cappuccinos, because there was a cappuccino machine at this place. Eighth graders shouldn't be drinking that much caffeine. I was sitting there, and for an hour, my mom would take my spot in therapy. And then the last session, her name was Judith. Judith brings me in with me and my mom to update me on, you know, how shitty of a life Debbie has now, even though I was supposed to be in therapy. And one of the things she told me was that my dad and her didn't have a sex life for years. And I was like, well, that's probably why he killed himself, because he wasn't, you know, getting a nut. And then my mom, soon after that, found out I was on porn sites, like a natural middle schooler in the computer room at their house. There's nothing wrong with porn. It's like a natural thing. Your body's changing. But my mom made me feel really bad and like grounded me for watching porn, all this stuff. And I put two together. I was like, you didn't fuck my dad, and you probably shamed him if he had a dirty magazine under the bed. The guy probably didn't come for years, ejaculate. And that's probably a leading factor into why he killed himself, because he didn't get his nut. Granted, she was a fat ogre of a woman. So I wouldn't, if I'm the guy, I wouldn't want to bang her either. Not because she's my mom, because she's disgusting. But like, that's got to be a contributing factor. Not nutting. Sure, the gambling and all that stuff. But like, that had to have played a part. And so I had to redo the assignment. And I just did Control F. And I replaced every beer with fudge. So it went from Beer Fest to Fudge Fest. And the whole thing was, people came all around the world to try different kinds of fudge. It was pretty funny. And then I changed the mass suicide into like a mass, like, gathering of like-minded. It was fruity as fuck. But that's how I had to prove that therapy worked, is I redid the assignment and I redid those stories from that magazine article that I wrote. But therapy's always been interesting to me, because when forgive me if I told this story, I have the fucking worst memory from my concussions, but like, the only therapy I got besides now was, it was right after my dad died, and it was group therapy with kids that were your age. And because of my Tourette's, when they interviewed me, they thought that I was special and on the spectrum. So I was sitting in a group with kids that just lost their parents, but they had autism or like schizophrenia. And I was like, I don't belong here. This therapy sucks. Yeah, I blink a lot, I twitch, but I'm normal compared to these fucks. And half those kids are probably dead now or selling crack whores. I often wonder about those kids that were like, there was a volcano room. It was called the volcano room, and you could like punch these bags, and these kids with autism would just fucking go insane in there. And I was like, if this is therapy, then I'll be dead at 20. This is not for me. And so I stopped going after a few sessions, because they mistook my Tourette's for being on some kind of spectrum. Good job, doctors. But, and there you go. That was a heartfelt story. So that's therapy in a nutshell for old Chris. But,
oh, this guy's insane. Jesus Christ.
But, yeah. I don't even know where I was going on that tangent. Oh, the dildos. So, obviously, my mom was sexually frustrated for years. But the Amazon doesn't say, like, when she ordered on Amazon, and, like, you got to say, hey, son, I'm waiting on a package. Don't open it. And so, as an 11, 12-year-old boy, I get a package delivered to my mom, and I'm, like, shaking it. Ooh, what's inside? It sounds like fun. And I open it. And as I open it and I look at what it is, I recognize it from the porn sites that I had been watching as a terrible boy, and it was a dildo. And as soon as I realized what it was, my mom goes, Christopher, no. And now I'm scarred for life from that. And then a couple years later, I'm in high school. My sister was visiting because she was visiting from North Carolina, staying in her room. And she was showering, and I heard this weird sound from her room, like a, bzz, you know, like a fucking vibrator. And I don't know what she named it. It was black or dark purple, but it was buzzing. And if your younger brother is in the house, make sure your vibrator is off, okay? Let me say this again for the Instagram preview that I'm going to put on. If your younger brother is in the same building as you, make sure your dildo or vibrator is turned off and the batteries are in a separate drawer, because that scarred me. And then my sister found out that I found it, and she was laughing about it. And I was like, great, that's three more years of therapy I'm going to need to get over this now. So don't say that I'm not connected with my feminine side, or because I'm more than connected with my feminine side and dealing with women. But don't name your dildos, and if you do, keep that shit to yourself. If you're trying to get a guy to come over to your place, I don't want to see that dildo. That's fucking weird to me. I don't know. Let's talk about Kobe Bryant for a minute, because it was the 1 year of his it was the 1 year of his passing. And last year I tweeted and I posted some stuff on Instagram that was a little, some people told me to get a grip and it was insensitive and things like that. But naturally I need to make a joke. And the day he died was the day after Eli Manning. I'm a Giants fan. Eli Manning retired, and it was very emotional for me because I grew up watching Eli Manning. That's my quarterback. That's my dude. He gave me two Super Bowls over Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady. I hate Tom Brady. I'll get into that probably next episode on why that avocado-eating douchebag should be hit by a bus. But the thing about Kobe, you know, people talk about the Mamba mentality. And, you know, I was trying to think to myself, what NFL player has exemplified the Mamba mentality? Now, there's no definition for the Mamba mentality, but it's laser focused. Like Kobe used to wake up at 4 a.m. He has that famous speech because of 4 a.m. It's a good one. You should read it. But the guy was just like physically not the greatest NBA talent, even though he was an athletic black dude, so he had some things going for him. But like, you know, it was all about the Mamba mentality. And I thought, what NFL player has exemplified that? A lot of people are going to say Tom Brady. No, he cheated. No. But close to Tom Brady, if you don't remember, was Aaron Hernandez. And I watched the Aaron Hernandez documentary, and I kept thinking, this is what Kobe would have done. Because if you remember, Aaron Hernandez was the second best tight end on the planet behind Rob Gronkowski, his teammate. So automatically, you know, he works hard. He's a freak athlete. But he had to cover up the fact that he murdered somebody, and he murdered other people, they found out. So for years, this guy was locked in the fucking zone. That's the Mamba mentality. When you kill people, and he got away with it too, which is impressive. The first murder, but he got away with it. And like, that's the Mamba mentality. I had more jokes written for this a year ago when it first happened and I watched the documentary. And that's why I have an Aaron Hernandez jersey now, because he exemplified the Mamba mentality more than any other player. To have the mental fortitude and the focus to murder people and get away with it for a good amount of time and to still be one of the best in the world at what you do, that's incredible. And we don't talk about that enough. The Mamba mentality doesn't have to be the greatest people. I know Kobe was a good dude, allegedly, besides the rape allegation that no one wants to talk about. But that right there, think about it. You murder people, you get away with it, you have a wife, kids, you're a great husband, you're amazing at what you do, you make millions of dollars. Hats off to Aaron Hernandez, RIP, another legend who killed himself, just like my dad. Fucking two rock solid dudes that I will always cherish in my heart. The last thing I will say is this. I've been posting a lot about my audition for Naked and Afraid. It's not over yet. It's just I'm in like a bucket of... So I realized I've been so bored lately and feeling unfulfilled that I wanted to... people are asking me why I want to do it, and I'm like, why the fuck not? Like, I don't want to be 40 years old chasing kids around with a wife that I stopped loving years ago, but it's too late, and I don't want to get a divorce because I want to stick it out. But I want to look back and be like, yeah, I fucking did that. And I have no survival training, and that came through in my interview because they could tell I was reading off of a spreadsheet I made, like different reading how to build a fire, all these snare traps, shit like that. But the girl that interviewed me, one of the producers, she was like, look, you have what we look for and what other reality shows look for in terms of like the Tourette's, the dad, the mom. Like, you have this, like, you have it, what we look for. I'm going to email you in a couple weeks. Send me a video of you making a fire, blah, 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 all this shit. And then we will consider you. We will fly you out to Los Angeles because you have it. We know you'd be good for ratings, shit like that. And so I am going to do that because but I'm also applying to a bunch of shows because I think I can really, she was like, you sound like you'd be a good villain on reality shows. She's like, you should look into, there's so many reality shows that you should apply for. Someone has to take me on. The tall, twitchy, blonde guy who's got like the history and everything. But, and I led with this in my interview for Naked and Afraid. My therapist showed me another, he had charts out the ass every time I said something. He pulled up a chart and it's the human brain. And he goes, based on what you're telling me, it sounds like you use this part of your brain a lot. And it's the survival part of your brain, the fight or flight. And it seems like you use the survival part of your brain a lot more than most people. And we need to get away from that and get more into the logic. And I think I'm a pretty logical guy, to be honest with you. And I said that. I said, you know, Miss Producer, I was told 2 days ago by my therapist, and she was like, oh, you're seeing therapy. You're getting therapy. That's amazing. Everyone just like applauds you now for paying 10 bucks a session for a therapist. But she was like, and I said, I think I would do well in Naked and Afraid. I would not, I don't have the best survival skills, but one thing that my therapist told me is that I use my survival part of my brain a lot, and that's why you should consider me. And she's like, eh, we'll see. But it's not a no yet. She does love me, and they do their research. Like, she pulled up old tweets of mine. Like, she's like, we found your Instagram, like all this stuff. And I was like, fuck. She's like, you have it. And so now I'm just going to apply to every reality show, and someone's going to take me on. There's a lot of dating shows out there. I know I'd kill it on there. I'd be good for ratings. But I'm going to go balls to the wall tomorrow, this weekend, because I'm sober, and I just apply to all these shows. Someone's going to take me. Naked and Afraid's not off the table, but it is less likely, so I need to start broadening my horizons. But I really think I could do it. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited for what the future holds, because I can talk my way into getting flown out for an in-person interview. Also, I've got a couple emails here for questions for the mailbag. I don't feel like reading them right now. I haven't felt like doing a lot this week. But I do want to say thank you, my boy Jack. Listens for and downloads for the show spiked last week because he's a bartender and he just told everyone at the bar, remember that guy that used to do sex toy bingo here? He was really funny and blah, blah, blah. He has a podcast. You should listen to it. And like, that's how shit spreads. So please tell someone. This episode probably wasn't funny. Show them another episode. Hey, this guy's funny. Check him out. Like, just drop a like on YouTube. Rate me on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. My boy Raph from college, he has a movie podcast where he just reviews movies. And this was because of me. I said, you need to review the movie Tenet because it was so shitty and such a Christopher Nolan fucking awful movie. You should review it. And sure enough, they did an episode on Tenet, and Spotify Podcasts, the Twitter account with hundreds of thousands of followers, said, hey, this pod, you know, gave him a shout out. So you're welcome, Raph. The podcast is called Straight to DVD Pod. Let me know if you're interested. I'll send you the link. But that's how shit grows. You just got to keep doing this shit. Keep telling your friends about it. Like, share, subscribe. I'm going to go throw more nicotine pouches in and play Red Dead Redemption 2. It would mean a lot if people reached out, asked me if I'm okay, if I'm alive. Wink. I'm not going to kill myself. Don't kill yourself. But yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for coming. Peace.